There is perhaps nothing more difficult in the Christian life than prayer. I struggle in prayer, and I know you struggle in prayer. Struggling to pray, struggling to bring your request to the Lord, struggling to go to Him when you know you should. But I've come to see lately in my study of the Word, I have come to see an amazing truth that God gives us about prayer. And I want you to see this in Romans chapter 8. So open again to Romans chapter 8, page 1132, if you are borrowing a Bible, a pew Bible. We're going to look at this amazing truth that we find in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to focus on verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. So we just read about all of the Spirit's work in our lives, and then we come to verse 26, and Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So because of Christ's resurrection that we looked at 2 weeks ago and we reflected on last week and what that means for us as believers, and then because of His subsequent ascension to the Father, only then does He pour forth His Spirit into our hearts and lives. And as the Spirit has been poured forth into our hearts, there is a work that the Holy Spirit does that is absolutely amazing and encouraging for us as believers. And here it is. Here's the truth that I want us to grasp this morning, and we're going to look at it in different angles through this text. Here is this main point, the main idea I want you to get, and it's this. You and I cannot pray without the Spirit. You and I cannot pray without the Spirit. Now that may sound basic, that may sound elementary, but I want you to see the glories of what I just said through this text this morning. And I want us to look at this text, and my whole goal really this morning, my goal is to magnify and to maximize the role of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. My goal is to glorify the Holy Spirit this morning. That's the goal. And the irony of it is when He is glorified, when He is seen as big and marvelous in our eyes, then you know what will happen? That will change us. That will change our prayers. And so to this end, I want us to answer three questions that I think this text teaches, that this text addresses about the spirit of prayer in believers. How this all works, how without the Spirit we cannot truly pray. Number one, the first question is, what does the Holy Spirit do in prayer? What does the Spirit do in prayer? Number two, why does the Spirit do what He does in prayer? Why does He do the work that He does in prayer in our lives? And number three, how does the Spirit doing what He does, how does that help us? How does that benefit us? What does that afford us as believers? So we're going to look at the Spirit's what, the Spirit's why, and the Spirit's how. First, what does the Holy Spirit do in prayer? Well, we see very clearly the answer in verse 26. Look at it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. So what does the Spirit do in prayer? Right there, you see it. He helps us. He helps us in our weakness. What does it mean when Paul writes, the Spirit helps us? What does that mean? Well, this word help, only used one other time in the New Testament, does not mean the Spirit helps us as if we pray and when we get stuck in prayer, the Spirit sort of comes along and He helps us. That's not what this means. The Spirit, I'll use an analogy, is not like a math tutor or any kind of tutor. And, you know, you work hard, you try your best, and you just cannot figure out the math problem. And so the tutor comes along and they guide you and they show you and they help you. That's not at all what the Holy Spirit does. That's not His work here. In other words, let me put it like this. It's not like sometimes you can pray without the Spirit and sometimes you can pray with the Spirit, with His help. No, we cannot, you cannot pray without the Spirit. We need His help, the Spirit and the Spirit alone. He helps us in prayer. But I want to make clear what I just said. I want to explain that a little more, and I want to say that this passage does not teach us that we do not pray. We actually do pray. We truly pray, but the Spirit helps us in prayer. And so the question I have is, what exactly does He do? What does He do in His help for us? The answer is, He intercedes for us. And we see this in verse 26. Look at it again with me. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. And here it is. Here is how He helps us. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. What does the Spirit do? He intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. You know what an intercessor is? An intercessor is someone who speaks on behalf of another person. An intercessor is someone who works on behalf of another person. We talk about, we see in the Bible, we read about, we talk about prayers of intercession. What are prayers of intercession? Prayers of intercession are prayers that you do on behalf of another person. You're speaking on behalf of them. You're praying in on behalf of them. That is the work of the Spirit in our lives. He offers prayers on behalf of us for our good, for our benefit. He is our intercessor in prayer. So that is what the Spirit does. What does the Spirit do in prayer? He helps us by interceding for us. But the next question I have is why? Why does the Spirit do this work? Or I could ask it like this. Why is prayer so difficult? Why is prayer so hard? You know it. You feel it in your life. Why is it so hard? Why do you feel oftentimes like a loser when it comes to prayer? So what I'm asking is this: why does the Spirit help us? Why do we need His help? And here's the answer: because we are weak. Because we are weak. Look at the text again with me. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We are weak when it comes to prayer. And what does this mean? Well, when it says we are weak, the text goes on to tell us what it means by that. Look at it again. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. And here it is. Here is how we are weak. For we do not know how to pray as we should. That is how we are weak. We do not know how to pray as we should. Now, I need to mention something about this that is very unfortunate for us here with the Bible translation that we use here at this church. We use the New American Standard Version, the 1995 version, and unfortunately, it is inaccurate in a part of this section. This verse does not say that we do not know how to pray, but that we do not know what to pray. The translation that we use here is it's inaccurate. Most of the other major English translations use the word what instead of the word how, including the new translation, the 2020 version of the New American Standard Version, which we should buy one of these days soon. So if you are a Bible marker, what you can do is you can cross out the word how in your Bible, and you can replace that word how with the word what, because that is truly the underlying Greek word. We do not know what to pray. So what is our weakness in prayer? What is it? Our weakness is that we truly do not know what to pray for. It is a problem of content. In other words, our weakness is our ignorance. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, you don't need to turn there, but Paul says that he was given a thorn in the flesh. And about this thorn, he implored the Lord three times that it might be taken away. But it wasn't. And so the Lord says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." And the question might be asked, was Paul supposed to pray that his thorn be removed? Well, in one sense, no. Why? Because it wasn't removed. It was not God's will that his thorn in the flesh be removed. Paul was ignorant on that point. He was weak. He prayed for it, but God answered with a no. The point is that we are weak. That is, we truly do not know what to pray for. Let me give you some more examples that will make this more concrete and more real. So what do you pray for when you lose a loved one unexpectedly? I mean, what do you pray for in that gut-wrenching, horrible experience? What do you pray for? What do you pray for when your child, who you raised in the Christian faith, wants nothing to do with Christianity. They walk away. They abandon it. What do you pray for that child? What if it's God's will that they do not return to Christ? I mean, truly, what do you pray for? What do you pray for if you're a married couple and you're dealing with infertility? I've known several couples dealing with that pain and that anguish of infertility. What do you pray for? What do they truly pray for? What do you pray for when your joy is lost? When your circumstances are absolutely a mess? When your hope is gone? I mean, we could multiply examples. Like, have you ever prayed for something that you really believed was the will of God for you, but it turned out not to be the will of God for you? As an example, have you ever prayed, Lord, I really want this job. Lord, please, it just lines up so well. I think this would be a good fit for me. Or Lord, I love this girl. I love her to death. Lord, is she the one? I really think she might be. And then you find out, after praying for those things, that it's not God's will. It's truly not His will. It wasn't the best for you. Your prayers in that moment, those prayers were weak. Thomas Boston, an old 16th, 17th century preacher, put this well, describing our weakness in prayer. He says, we might pray against God's mercy. We might pray for what could ultimately hurt us. We might pray for what feeds our sinful desires. We might not pray for what we truly need. Simply, we might not pray according to the will of God. Now, in all of these examples, we can certainly say our prayers. We can offer prayers to the Lord. We can pray with our hearts to Him, but we often truly don't know what His will is. We truly, to put it in the language of this passage, don't know what to pray for as we should, or we could say as is fitting according to the will of God. According to His will. How many times have you found yourself with thoughts in your heart, but no words to express them to the Lord? Have you ever just groaned or sighed before the Lord? Yes. Yes, if you're a believer, you have. I mean, Paul alludes to that here in this passage. I mean, if Jesus in His humanity did not always know what to pray for, if Jesus struggled in prayer, which He did in the Garden of Gethsemane, why wouldn't we think we struggle in prayer? Not knowing what to pray for. But there are, let me make clear in saying that there are things in God's Word that we know what His will is. It's clear, like for example, we know it's God's will that we give thanks in everything, according to 1 Thessalonians 5. We know that's His will, so we should pray about that. But outside of the clear, revealed will of God in the Bible, we don't know what God's will is. most of the time. I would say 95% of the time, we just don't know. Listen, I only know that it's God's will that I married Beth because I did. You see, I knew it was God's will when I said, I do. But before I got married to her, I thought it was God's will. I was pretty confident it was God's will, but I wasn't 100% sure. God could have let it not happen. God could have stopped it from happening. The whole point of this is that we are weak. You see now, you understand now a little better. We are weak, which means we truly do not know what to pray for so much of the time. Now, before we answer our final question, I want to address maybe two objections or maybe thoughts that you're thinking about right now. The first one is this. Pastor Dan, I know that I don't always know what to pray for. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, so many times I'm praying, Lord, just please help me, right? I don't know what to pray for, but that's why at the end of my prayers, I always say, if it be your will. Lord, this is my prayer, if it be your will. There's nothing wrong with praying that. The heart behind that is you want God's will to be done. But if you pray that, you're proving my point. You don't know what to pray for exactly. You don't know what God's will is in a specific situation that you're praying about. Second thought you might have. What about all the places in Scripture where it tells me, what to pray for? For example, the Lord's Prayer. Does not the Lord's Prayer give us the content of what we are to pray for? Well, to be fair to the Lord's Prayer, it does not say that we are to pray these things, but we are to pray in this way or in this manner. In other words, it's not so much about the content of the Lord's Prayer that matters. It's all about the way, the how, the manner in which we pray. That's what Jesus was teaching his disciples. Not necessarily the content. Now, it's certainly not wrong to pray, give us this day our daily bread. There's nothing wrong with that. But the point is that your true need? Is that my true need in the moment when we are praying? And not only this, but we have at Grace Community Bible Church, if you come on a Wednesday, we have our prayer meeting, we publish a prayer list. And the prayer list contains content for prayers. I love our prayer list, but our prayer list is not inspired. And so what do you pray when you see on the prayer list, you see there and you read about someone who is struggling with chronic pain? And you haven't seen this brother or this sister for a long time. What do you truly pray for them? What do you pray? This is where the Spirit enters. He helps our weakness. He intercedes for us. But how does he do this? How does he do this? Or I should say, how does him doing this, how does his intercession help us? Well, this is where we get clarity from verse 27. So, how does the Spirit help us in prayer? And I think you can see the answer from what I've said so far, but we see it clearly in verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You see, because the Spirit, as verse 27 says, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, because he does that, the prayers, the intercessory prayers of the Spirit are always answered in the affirmative. They're always answered with a yes because the Spirit knows what God's will is. The Father and the Spirit are one. The Spirit knows what the Father's plans are. The Spirit knows what God's will is. So here is why the work of the Spirit is so important. Here is why His work is so important in our lives. Because we are weak, that is, because our weakness means that we truly don't know what to pray for in any given situation we face, the Spirit is the one who takes our inadequate and ill-informed prayers and Himself prays for us according to the will of God. It's like this. As one has said, we pray, and when we pray, the Spirit fixes our prayers on the way up. What great help that is. What great encouragement that is for us. Now, based upon all that I've said about the Spirit's work, that you and I cannot pray without the Spirit, based upon that, based on the fact that He helps us in interceding for us because we are weak, and in our weakness, He intercedes and He prays on our behalf. And His prayers are answered by the Father because they're in tune with the Father's will. Based on all of that, I want to give you two realities and three encouragements. Two realities and three encouragements that we can take away from this text. The first reality is that if you are not a Christian, you cannot pray. Do you ever think about it like that? Unbelievers can't pray. Now, I don't mean that unbelievers or you, if you're not a believer, you can't say words to the Lord, you can't offer something that resembles prayer. What I mean is that you cannot truly pray. You cannot truly offer to God what is acceptable to Him and what accomplishes His will. The reason is because you do not have the Spirit. An unbeliever does not have the Spirit. The Spirit, as Paul says here in this passage, the Spirit only intercedes. Who does He intercede for in verse 27? He intercedes for the saints. That is, He intercedes for Christians, for believers in Jesus. They are the saints who the Spirit is interceding for. So, as one Puritan pastor wrote very descriptively, that praying without the Spirit is like the lowing of oxen and the grunting of hogs. Praying without the Spirit is like the lowing, the mooing of oxen and the grunting of hogs. But that's not the only reality we see from this text. The second reality is that if you are a Christian, you cannot pray without the Holy Spirit. Why? You are weak, which means that you truly don't know what to pray. You truly don't know what to pray without His help. But listen, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, because if you are a Christian, you have the Spirit. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, you can pray. You can go to Him. And not only that, but you can have your prayers answered with a yes. With a yes, because here's why: the Spirit is interceding for you according to the will of God. And this is where this passage offers us then three encouragements. Three encouragements in light of this. Number one, be encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged this morning that your groaning and your ignorance in prayer, as John Piper said, and I love this, he says, your groaning and your ignorance in prayer, in that, he says, you are not being watched, you are being understood. You are not being watched in your groaning and ignorance in struggle. You are being understood. How is that the case? God the Father, according to verse 27, searches your heart. He knows. God knows the deep longings of your heart, of your soul. And the Spirit's mission is to pray for you according to the will of God. In other words, the Spirit takes our deep down longings that we have, and He takes them before the Father and prays them on our behalf. And they get answered when He prays for us. Be encouraged with that. It's so encouraging. Number two, be encouraged. Be encouraged this morning that God's will be accomplished in your life despite your weakness and your inability to know what to pray for. Nothing, not even your weak, feeble prayers can frustrate the plans of God. You know, your prayers do matter. Your prayers do cause the will of God to take place, to take shape in that way. Your prayers do matter, but your prayers are weak. They're often so inadequate. But thanks be to God that the Spirit intercedes for us. His prayers are always in tune with God's will. And so, you know what, believer? God will not fail to accomplish His will in your life, despite your weakness. And number three, be encouraged that your weakness and your struggle in prayer will not necessarily get better in this life. I've been a Christian 25 years, and I still struggle in prayer. It hasn't gotten easier. I've had seasons of ups and seasons of down, but it hasn't gotten any easier. This is because, listen, the Spirit does not remove your weakness. The Spirit helps your weakness. Sometimes we think that super spiritual Christians, whoever they are, pastors or great men or women of the faith that we read about, we think it, they have less of a struggle in prayer than I do. Oh, let's take, for instance, a man named John Bunyan. You know who John Bunyan is, writer of Pilgrim's Progress? I mean, he was put in jail for preaching the gospel, a hero of the faith. John Bunyan must have not struggled in prayer. Oh no, listen to what he says. Listen to his experience. He says, "May I but speak of my own experience and from that tell you of the difficulty of praying to God?" He goes on to say, "For as my heart, when I go to prayer, I find it so reluctant to go to God. I find my heart so reluctant to go to God. And when it is with him, so reluctant to stay with him." His heart wandered. His mind lost track of what he was praying about. "I find my heart so reluctant to stay with him that many times I am forced in my prayers first to beg God that he would take my heart and set it on himself in Christ. I'm begging God to do that. And when it's there, I beg God that he would keep it there." And then he says, "Many times I do not know what to pray for. I am so blind." But then he says, "Only blessed be grace. The Spirit helps my weakness." It's John Bunyan. Listen, friends, what we have seen this morning is that prayer is a Holy Spirit thing. Prayer is spiritual. Or as I've said, without the Spirit, you cannot pray. You cannot pray. And so what does the Spirit do? The Spirit, as Christ resurrected and ascended, he sent forth his Spirit, and his Spirit helps us through intercession, through praying for us. And why do we need this help? We need this help because we are weak. We are ignorant. We do not know what to pray for as we should. And how does this help us? The Holy Spirit, he helps us by praying effective prayers. Prayers that always get answered because he is praying in tune with the will of God, with the plans of God. So here is the takeaway this morning. Here is what we can all take away this morning, and it's this: embrace your weakness. Embrace it, brothers and sisters. Embrace it because it's true. Embrace the fact that you cannot pray on your own. You and I are so weak. And the irony is that when you see your weakness, when you embrace it, when you come to grips with it, that's when you truly pray. That's been your experience. That's my experience. When I come to the end of myself, when I have no more resources to offer, then I am on my knees begging God to do what only he can do for me. Prayer, after all, is an admission of weakness. Prayer is begging. Prayer keeps us humble. It's why Robert Murray McShane is once to have reported, "If you want to humble a Christian, just ask about his or her prayer life." Wow, that hits right here. But this is how the Christian life works. This is the glory, the great paradox, paradoxical glory of the Christian life, and it's this: He must increase, and I must decrease. Only when you are weak, then He is strong. And when He is strong, we can and will and must pray, truly pray, with the help of the Spirit's powerful and effective intercession for us. Amen? Let me pray now.